B-Pod Studios.
The dynamic duo.
I'm a borderline moron.
Of Boston Sports Radio.
You are freaking Pork City.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady, it's been well documented, too, even with as much as his love for the 49ers. I do think Tom Brady is a really nice man. I think he's a good father. I don't think he wants to be dragging his family all over the country and doing all that. I think there is something to that. So, I mean, I'm sure that played a part in it, too, but I am with you. And the fact that, and I know we're not alone here, you know, there's other people around, that there's something else that went down here, or that there was another play trying to be made here, and then when he realized, okay, it's not going to happen, I still love football, and the Bucs ain't all that bad to be a part of, I'll go back to the Bucs. I think this is one of those things we'll hear more and more about as the month goes on.
All right, that's Chris Sims on the Tom Brady situation, surmising what, as he said, a lot of us have surmised, that there was another play there. Brady was trying to do something, maybe wasn't able to do it, and so went back to Tampa. But either way, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, join us for hour two of the program. What's your take on the Brady situation? What do you think went down there? What do you think happened?
I think that Tom Brady tried to make a power play to get out of Tampa. And, you know, how about this? In ownership that did not view Tom Brady as another son and did not just let him leave for nothing. You know, the Patriots, this is, again, we talk about Stephon Gilmore, nothing. Joe Tooney out the door, nothing. J.C. Jackson out the door, nothing. Tom Brady out the door, nothing, and a dead cap hit. You know, so, again, I didn't understand at the time, and no, everyone sort of glossed over it, that the Patriots, the Crafts, let Tom Brady leave, the greatest quarterback ever, who went on to win a Super Bowl, was second in MVP voting last year, walk out the door, and the Patriots got nothing for it. And I think that Tom tried to make a power play, went to the Glazers in Manchester to try to make a final play at maneuvering wherever he wanted to go, maybe San Francisco. And the Glazers said, hell no. We're not letting you go. You're an asset. If you want to go anywhere, someone's going to have to pay through the nose. And Tom was like, all right, fine, I'll come back.
That's what I think happened too.
Yeah, because they know he needs football that bad. I said it yesterday. Football's like his crack, and the only place he can get it right now is Tampa because they still have his rights. What happened between him and Arians? Is that what the beef is? Is that why you think he wanted out so badly?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, from what I heard, you know, they just did not get along the second half of last season. I don't exactly know what happened, but I do think some of it was, you know, that Brady and Leftwich were doing the game planning and Arians all of a sudden was butting in and sort of, you know, getting in the middle of it. Where Tom, at that point, and, you know, we know sort of the way things went down here with the Patriots, that Tom wants to have a lot of influence over everything, personnel, you know, game plan, stuff like that. We heard about his complaining about McDaniels and the Patriots towards the end here. And I think, you know, Arians butting in and what was going on with the team, how it was going downhill. He just got fed up with it, sort of like he was in 2019 here.
Okay, we continue with the thoughts on Tom Brady as well. It's 617-779-0985. Are you convinced everything is dead? Meaning that there's still not another shoe to drop, because I know Jones has talked about this, and we'll play the sound coming up. Scott Pioli is among those who all said he's not convinced Brady will go back to Tampa, that going back. What was your take last night, Jones, that Brady doing this actually might facilitate a trade somewhere else?
Well, you can't be traded if you're retired. I mean, if you're sitting on the sidelines, you can't be traded. You have to unretire to get traded. So, I don't know, like, if you're going to try to work something out with the Niners, for instance, Tampa likes Garoppolo, I don't know, and you're going to try to work out something with the Niners, Brady's got to unretire to do it, doesn't he?
Not exactly. I mean, he was never, as far as I know, he was never placed on the active retirement, you know, list, even though when you publicly declare it, you're considered retired by the NFL. No, I don't think he needed to do that to facilitate. I would love to see him go someplace else. I would love to see that. But I have seen no indications that lead me to believe that the Buccaneers are entertaining that and what it might do to their team if they do end up doing that.
And I agree that he's stuck in Tampa. I said this all day yesterday. Bruce Arians isn't sophisticated enough to lie or to couch anything. And when Bruce Arians was at the combine, you know, just he ain't going anywhere. If he's going to play, he's going to play for us. Yeah, five first-round picks.
Bad business.
Bad business. Like, Arians just blurts out the truth because that's what he is. It's one thing to like about him, I guess.
The other thing that pours water all over it, too, is some subsequent moves since Brady made this announcement. Then bringing back Ryan Jensen. He was the best center out there, maybe the best offensive lineman out there. He's back. Who facilitated that move? The GM, Tom Brady.
Well, Jensen said today he was going to come back either way. But
I mean, they need protection for whatever quarterback they're bringing in. They need targets for every quarterback they're bringing in. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong and I'm barking up the wrong tree, but I don't know. When Scott Pioli says, I'm not really sold on it, he's not a bomb thrower. We're saying Boston Sports Inf isn't a bomb thrower. He's not exactly a bomb thrower.
No, he's not. Pioli's the farthest thing from a bomb thrower. So that does give us some credit. I'm just telling you what my feeling is. But my other feeling is that I just think the thing about everyone goes to Tampa because Brady's there is so overplayed. They were going to have a good team with or without Tom Brady. They were going to have players that go there with or without Tom Brady. Jensen said, I was coming back either way. Maybe Jensen is a family and he likes the school system. Who knows? It's not. People don't just go for Brady or not Brady. It's much bigger than that.
Helps, though.
It doesn't hurt, that's for sure. Fine. But yeah, I don't know. I can only take him at his word. He was coming back either way. Where was it? Oh, I just think, again, Arians was giving us the organizational feeling. He ain't going anywhere. We're not trading him. That's bad business. And then as soon as Brady made his decision, it's like Arians with the release, Jason Light with the release, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, are making releases. It's like, oh, but that's a big charade just to then turn around and trade him.
Well, true, and I get it on the team's half, but like Brady just did a giant charade. So why couldn't he have another charade? He just pretended he was retired and pretended he wanted to spend time with his family.
Brady could do it.
Right.
I think it's rare for teams to go through all of that. Rare. Not unprecedented, but rare. And it's just, it's a player can set himself up to look like a fraud, but when a whole team does it, like I just think that's too much to expect. Believe me, I'd like to see it too. Someone who said, the Niners still being a possibility. Burt Breer was on with us last night on Boston Sports Tonight with the Mike Holly Show, basically. And, Breer said that the Niners thing isn't quite dead. You have that, Jimmy?
I think the 49ers are leaving the light on for him. And I think Tom Brady has more relationships in that Niners organization than people realize. And so I personally think, like, the Niners feel like they're in a really strong spot now because they've got Trey Lance, who they feel good about, but maybe could use a little bit more seasoning. So if we got to go with Trey Lance, we'll go with Trey Lance. In the meantime, we've got a championship roster that went to a championship game that was in a Super Bowl 3 years ago. And hey, if Tom Brady wants to walk into this, if there's some way we can acquire him in July or August, we're ready for that too.
So if that's from the Niners side, I know Jimmy Stewart is among those who think that Shanahan doesn't want Brady and it's not a match there on the San Francisco side. Ego play there or something.
Can I add a detail to that?
Sure, ooh, please.
So Kyle Shanahan right now is a no on Brady. John Lynch has always been a yes on Brady. John Lynch, the GM, has always wanted Tom Brady.
So Burt is tight, though, with those Niners guys and the Shanahan crews and the Shanahan mob. And Burt says they're leaving a light on for him.
Oh, it'd be so good.
So, I'm rooting for it, too. I just think, boy, I thought Bruce Arians was telling the truth at the Combine and all those releases by the Buccaneers.
I know, but didn't they say the same thing about Antonio Brown last year? Like, Bruce Arians said, we're never bringing back Antonio Brown, and then they brought him back. So he's full of crap.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I don't think you are. But Jones, for once, I'm going to root for you on this one.
Right, good.
Because I think Brady going somewhere else, even San Francisco, even the NFC, is still a little more juice there than just going back to Tampa. The thing you really want from a storyline standpoint is Miami. But I don't know how feasible that is. I just think he's come back to Tampa. Does quickly, Greg, before we go to break and then go to the calls, did the way Brady handle this, does that diminish him in your eyes in any way, shape, or form? You look at him like diva, fraud, Brett Favre, you know, anything like that?
I mean, not really, because I didn't believe it when he did retire. I didn't believe any of it because he said, I'll retire when I suck. And he didn't suck. And so I didn't understand it. And I thought maybe it was a power play. But, you know, the next time he retires or whatever, he talks about his family, I'm going to roll my eyes. And if he retires, then it's bye. You know, no more celebrations. You got it the first time around. That's it.
Okay. The family part of it is, I think, also,
it's all been crap.
Oh, my God. But I guess what bothers me the most is the number of people that fall for it. You know, the number of people who really think Giselle got him to retire, or he wanted to spend time with his kids, or that he got home and realized it wasn't time. Like people think that had anything to do with it. It's just, it blows me away.
It's all such a crock.
It's almost always contract, almost always money, almost always working conditions or powers. Is that Mauer? You know, it's some Mauer. Some sort of, it's a combination of power and money. You know, decision-making and money.
Joe Mauer.
That's what it almost always comes down to. The money, and then if you're a guy like Brady, does he have control? Control of the offense, control who he plays with, things like that. That's what it almost always comes down to, and it's what it's come down to with Tom Brady. All right, back to your phones on everything with Bedard. Jones is in the hot box of takes. Big Jim Murray alongside as well. Right back to you after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
To me, it's going to be very interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. And I'm not trying to start controversy or anything here, but it seemed like that there was some, I don't want to say tension, or something wasn't right when things ended down there, and there was talk about him being traded. So I understand he's coming back to Tampa. That in this statement, that's what he has to do. I'm just not sure if that's going to be the case this year.
So that's that Scott Pioli comment from the NFL Network the other night that Jones has latched on to. I'm happy he has. I'll root for that. Tom Brady moves to another team, be a great story. And if the Buccaneers are full of crap and this is all one big ruse, well, then they fooled me, because I think he's not going anywhere. But let's see how that all plays out. All right, back to your phones. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, in our Town Fair Terry Studios. Jones and Murray alongside. Here's Tim in Blackstone. What do you got, Tim?
Hi, guys. I know it's a little early, but I would love to know what Robert thinks of the offseason so far. You have Bills spending all this money last offseason. You've got them hoarding away $25 million on probably the worst NFL coaching staff ever assembled. And now you're spending money on guys that are 30 and older. Does he have any future with the Patriots, or is he just, you know, collecting his acorns, squirreling up for retirement, and setting his kids up? Because that's what it feels like. Feels like there's not a lot of attention to this offseason, and it just is a very concerning feel.
Well, Tim, when you say you wonder what Robert Kraft thinks of this, what if Robert Kraft ordered this? I mean, what do you mean what he thinks of it? The cash spending comes from the owner. It doesn't come from Bill. Bill can play with the salary cap and do all that stuff, but the actual money that they're going to spend comes from the owner. So you're acting like Robert's surprised? What if Robert said, Bill, we're not spending any money this year. We spent it last year. This is a five-year plan, and we're not going to spike in two straight years like that. So do whatever you want, but we're not spending any money. Do whatever you want with the little we're giving you. But we're not spending money. So I don't think Robert's surprised one bit. I think Robert set the parameters, as most owners do, what I think.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure what would happen this year, because, yes, they spent a lot in 2021. But in 2020, they didn't spend very much at all. They were like $50 million under. They were about, you know, the cap, if their budget is the cap, which is what we think the Patriots are, where basically the Patriots, the Krafts tell Belichick, all right, on player costs, you can spend what the cap is, a cash to cap team. Yeah, so which, 2 years ago, they were $50 million under. Last year, they were $55 million over. You know, going into this, they were about $60 million under the cap. So they should have that cash to spend. Do they or do they not?
They should, but they're not a big right. cash spending team.
But after they broke that seal,
they're just not. I mean, let me tell you, you know, you put it in your story the other day. In the last 5 years, they were near the bottom of the league in real cash spent. Over the life of the previous collective bargaining agreement, a 10-year sample, they were 15th in the league, 15th out of 32 teams, right in the middle of the pack. They are not a big cash spending team. So I don't know what, you know, I guess that's the way it's always been. It's the way it'll always be. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, but To the caller's point, I would not say like the owner's surprised. I think like the owner's involved. Yes, Jim.
But they set a new precedent with the spending last year, though. So it doesn't make much sense to me, at least, to go back to the way that you used to do it after last year. And it's almost like, to me, like, if this is how ownership is dictating it, so what's he saying to Bill? Like, no, I gave you that blank check last year. You know, life's now handed you lemons. Make lemonade. Like, figure it out. Like, no, you should still try to add to this team.
I just thought they wanted to climb back into the elite of the league and be in that conversation. Especially after how Tom Brady made him look a couple years ago. I thought they were serious about that, but it doesn't feel that way. Chris in Worcester. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I want to ask a question to Greg Bedard. Thank you, Greg. You're awesome. I'm wondering about coaching because, you know, I know we have the general manager, Belichick, but we have the general manager coach now, and he has to play with the what he's given himself. So, with the regards to the AFC East, is he still top of the litter? Vrabel, Reed.
Okay, so that's not the East. That's the conference. I'll just stop you. Your comment line said, do the Patriots still have an edge in coaching with Bill Belichick, Greg?
It's a great question. With Belichick, yes, even though I don't think last season reflected it. I do think that he blew some things, like some fourth down decisions, some before the half, after the half type situations where he left points on the board. We'll have to see whether he was over-conservative because of a rookie quarterback, and that was paramount to him, not to put him in a bad situation. That could have well been the case. That doesn't excuse it, but we'll see if Belichick is back on his game this year. Do I think that with what he's surrounding himself with now, that he's going to be as good of a coach? I don't think so. Matt Patricia on the offensive line, which is what we think is going to happen. Joe Judge involved with the quarterback. Yes, they're bringing Brian Hoyer back. That is going to be helpful. He's basically like another coach, and he knows the offense better than anybody in that building.
Yes,
yeah,
anybody.
No. And good clock management in Kansas City a few years ago. He gets it.
Yeah, and I don't think overall, because you can't just look at Bill, because I do think Bill, yes, has an advantage. You have to look at everything,
right?
and how much thinner is he going to be? Because now our special teams suck, so I need to help with that. Our defense was bad last year, so I need to help with that. Now the offense, we don't have Josh McDaniels. Now I need the help there. Is a spread out Bill Belichick better than he was in his prime? Of course not.
We've got Rob in Daytona Beach. Hi, Rob.
Yeah, hey, guys. Just really quickly, can the Patriots squeeze anything out of Raekwon McMillan this season? Thank you.
Okay, that's another guy that we forgot about. How did they acquire him?
I think he was just a street free agent.
Street free agent.
Wasn't he drafted?
No, he's been in the league for a while.
Okay. Yeah.
And I've always liked him. He's a speedy type linebacker, and I think they had big plans for him last year. I think he probably would have won a starting spot last year, but he got hurt, and they gave him a 2-year deal in any event, and so I do think they still have plans for him. You know, as a fan, yes, you can project and say, well, we have Raekwon McMillan and Cameron Groans coming back, and now we have, adding Mac to that. All of that's going to work at linebacker. You could say that, and it could work, but it's a projection for everybody.
Yeah, let's just play this game. Let's go to the Patriots. Here's the Patriots official, unofficial depth chart at patriots.com.
Nice.
It's always fun to read into this.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because this does got to get approved. You know, it's not like Perillo's sitting there with his thumb up his ass. And
yeah,
he's like, let's do this. It's like it's got to clear channels. So there's sometimes you can read
Fred? In. Is Fred a channel?
Nah, I don't know. But it's not like Perillo's waking up in some fever dream and he just spits this out. This does pass through channels. This is freaking scary. Defense. Left end, Dedrick Wise. Defensive line, Devon Godchow. Right end, Lawrence Guy.
Yep.
Linebacker, Judon. They've got Hightower on here. Sorry. Free agent as of tomorrow at 4. But I guess he's there. Juwan Bentley, and they have nothing behind these guys.
Bentley's a free agent, too.
And he's a free agent, too.
Mm-hmm.
Duggar at defensive back. Jonathan Jones at left corner. Jalen Mills at right corner. Adrian Phillips and Devin McCourty, which is actually fine. But it's that linebacker thing.
It's the corners, too. The linebackers in the corner. That's pretty bad at corner.
It's the corners, too.
Mike, can I give you my front seven depth chart real quick?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So right outside linebacker, Judon backed up by Ronnie Perkins.
Okay.
Then I have Dedrick Wise and Christian Barmore at one end.
Yep.
I have Devon Godchow. They have the Equale, whatever his name is.
Equale.
Yeah, Equale. at nose tackle, Lawrence Guy and Byron Cowart at the other defensive end spot. At linebacker, I have Raekwon McMillan, Jelani Tavai, who is one of Matt Patricia's guys from Detroit, who they love, Terrez Hall, and then the other linebacker spot, I have Mack Wilson, who they just acquired, Cam McGrone, and Harvey Lange. Those guys are all under contract. That's their front seven depth chart
right now. That's freaking scary.
Ugh. It's not great.
Murderer's row at linebacker there.
How was Godchild last year?
Terrible.
Okay. Where's the Henry Anderson kid?
He was hurt all last year.
I have him behind Barmore.
Okay.
But, you know, it looked like they were going to cut him last year. I don't know. He might get released in the next day or so before the new league year starts. I think he's a player and could give you an option as a starter at defensive end, but I don't know if they believe that.
Okay, that's a scary depth chart there.
Mm-hmm. Jelani Tavai is on the team because Patricia liked him from Detroit?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Ugh. There's more ammo for you, Jones.
Yeah.
Jack and Grafton on Tom Brady. Go ahead, Jack. Okay, hold on.
Oh, I blame the Patriots for these calls today, by the way. The Patriots, with their free agency, are putting everybody to sleep. They're not doing anything. They're bringing back a bunch of aging veterans, and no callers are ready to go. Nobody's ready to go. I blame the Patriots for that. They're putting everybody to sleep.
Yeah, but there was also the...
also be our French software here.
Yeah. Ah. There's a baguette being given away overseas.
Yes. I think there's a crepe somewhere. Mike in Nashville, let's just try this again. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, I was...
Yeah. See what I mean? Yeah, no, it's our French call screen software. Yeah,
it's country music.
Yeah, so is it a free ride on Melancholy again? What is it? What's going on?
So listen, there's things going on across the league. Jones has the very latest here in the update. We'll come back. They'll give away their cowboy boots across the hall, and then we'll get back to your phones. You can jump back on. You will arrive on the call screen at 617-779-0985 first.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's prepping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, dear Felger and Mass listeners, I think Greg Bedard was mocking us, among others, and we're not the only ones.
What I do now?
Well, I read your story the other day on Boston Sports Journal.
No good, I didn't. What did he say?
Dateline March 14th.
It was more aimed at Jones.
Dated at March 14th. It was aimed at somebody. I think we were included either way. He writes in italics, the Patriots have to add X. They have to go get Y.
You can hear the voice.
They're falling behind so many teams in the AFC! !! That was all in italics. So that's he's channeling you. He's quoting you and us, we. And then he writes in regular font, as in his voice, what a bunch of sports talk radio baloney. It's demeaning us, Jones.
Yeah, I honestly feel personally offended. Yep. That's true. He's got his reasonable voice in his regular text and then the italics for us. That's not fair.
So for us to say the Patriots have to add X, they have to go get Y, they're falling behind so many teams in the AFC, that's just sports talk radio baloney?
Malarkey. Mm-hmm.
Is that baloney or is that actually what's really happening?
This was going into everything.
Go ahead.
Yes, I think that, and similar to, it's along the same lines of what I said earlier. Like, if the Patriots did what they did last year and they believe in the players that they added, and look, Aguilar and Jonnu Smith and Devon Godchild did not hit year one, okay? But rarely does free agency work in the first year. You're really looking at the second year for when there's real impact. If the Patriots, if they get better play from those players, if Mac Jones is better in year two, which he will be, if the guys on offense know the scheme better in a second season, which they will, and if you add a few key pieces here and there, and this is before J.C. Jackson walked out the door, then I do think it's a bunch of baloney. I don't believe in this stuff. I know you do, and you know you and I go to battle over this every year, where you believe in the quarterbacks and this, and it makes it easier and blah, blah, blah. I just don't believe that. I think that the Patriots, they made progress last year with a rookie quarterback and a lot of new guys. As long as they keep a semblance of the same talent level, if not improve it a little bit in key spots like linebacker, then I think they can be competitive. I think they can improve a game or two and be right in the thick of things without having to go get Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson or any of those guys. That's sort of my point.
Okay. I feel like they've taken a step back relative to the field so far. Okay, so far.
It's fair.
We've gotten more, you know, we got more free agency and draft and all of this, so like it isn't all played out. But if you ask me right now, here and now, I feel like they've taken a step back again relative to the field. So that's what Bedard wrote. Here's Jones on the email chain. This Patriots free agency approach is really starting to bother me.
Starting.
Not just the sheer hypocrisy of the fans, who were belly bumping each other with big money signings last year, but because of the narrative that has begun to grow. You have a large window with Mac. So that's the narrative, that they have a large window with Mac, so they shouldn't be doing anything this year?
Yeah, I thought maybe even Greg alluded to this before. Like, this might be how the Patriots view it. I'm not saying this was your opinion, Greg, but they have Mac Jones. They're looking at things in five-year windows. They're building it further and further out. And, like, they have time to grow with Mac Jones. He's a young quarterback. So, you know, you don't need to win at all this year. I think there's that narrative, sure.
So Jones writes, no, you should be maximizing this window now, all caps. It also completely dismisses your 70-year-old coach.
In April, but...
How much longer is he going to wait around? There should be more urgency from him, too, and for some maddening reason, there isn't. He says, here's Bill's priority power rankings this offseason.
This is great.
This was a good top 10 list, if you will. Bill's priority power rankings this offseason. Number one, his own children. Number two, his friends' children.
Yep.
Number three, his children's friends. Number four, his friends' players. Number five, old familiar breaking down good soldiers. And then ranking number 100 on the list, actual good players. When we first started this morning, Greg Bedard did not know that Jones was in the hot box. Greg Bedard's first email to us this morning read simply as follows, one line. Oh, God, Jones is in? No one told me about this. Period, paragraph, end of email.
Yeah, I find it funny that Jimmy, you know, texted me last week and said, can you come in Tuesday during free agency? And he didn't mention anything about Jones being part of the mix.
Yeah, it's not, you don't want to sell it that way.
I will say that.
You want to get you to agree first.
Jones, I will say, in fairness and in, you know, as an olive branch, I will say, to this point, what the Patriots have done, your list, I think it's totally fair to say.
I think that to me sounds like sports radio baloney, honestly. Like, if we're going to be honest, that doesn't sound like real, reasonable what's going on.
Would linebacker be the most, is that the area they need to address the most, Greg? And if they didn't, is that negligent or is there another area? That if they didn't add a player at, you know, position X, you would actually rip them?
Well, the one thing that I wanted them to add in the offseason was a true dominant slot. You know, you guys, some people want a number one boundary receiver.
A slot.
I just want a guy that, to me, the problem with the offense in big spots, and, you know, maybe the Patriots think, well, Jonnu Smith should be that guy because we're going to more two tight ends, but whatever. They needed somebody who gets open quickly against one-on-one coverage. That just, in third and four, third and five, the Julian Edelmans of the world, the Wes Welker, the Danny Amendola, guys who... Third and five in a big spot in the fourth quarter, Mac Jones says, I don't care how they're covering this guy. This guy's getting open. I can get him the ball. We can move the chains. They do not have that guy. I love Jacoby Myers. He's good. He's serviceable at what he does. He is not quick enough inside. They can't. Him as a slot receiver, it does not work for this offense. It doesn't work for Mac Jones. They need him to be the fourth boundary sort of outside receiver. So that's the one thing that I thought they had to add. Now, as far as linebacker, you know, I would give McGrone, McMillan, and Wilson. They could be done with that group. And Tavai, you know, because of how Patricia feels about them, they might be done with that group. I believe in Josh Uche opposite Matthew Judon or Ronnie Perkins.
You mentioned all those linebackers, and a lot of our audience is sitting there going,
I know.
Who are you talking about?
Meanwhile,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like
Jelani Tavai?
Yeah. These are Patriots players. I've never heard of these people before, but no, they are
legitimately on your depth chart, in some cases starting on your depth chart. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's like, who are these guys? What are you talking about? But no, these are your linebackers right now.
Meanwhile, the offensive line coach is picking the linebackers.
Right. We're getting ex-Detroit Lions in here.
The slot receiver, though, he needs, you said this weeks ago, Mike, he needs a guy.
Give him a guy.
Third and got to have it. Someone that can get separation. You know that 9 times out of 10 that guy's going to make that grab. And they don't have that. So, and some of these slot receivers have gone for crazy money, whether it's Berrios back to the Jets or Kirk to that crazy money got from Jacksonville. Russell Gage goes to Tampa. Good for Brady.
Hey, look.
But who's left?
I mean, and this is frustrating, too. It's like, well, those guys aren't worth it. Well, here's the deal, Patriots. Receivers and corners are going for a lot of money. It's just what they cost. Do you want one or not? Like you've got to have receivers and corners, and the good ones cost money.
There's another way to get them, and maybe you guys have asked Greg in the past about this, but would you be okay with them drafting that slot guy in the first round if he's there?
Yeah. Absolutely. I would, but they won't do that. They won't. It takes them too long. They don't trust those guys. But, as far as you're right, cornerbacks are now getting rarer, and you can't find them, and you got to pay them. But now, Bill figured that out, and now they're just going to play zone. And, that's what they're doing.
Good luck. Yeah, good luck playing zone against all these quarterbacks.
Worked awesome against Josh Allen.
I was just going
to
say.
All right, I promise. We'll get back to your calls in our long commercial-free segment. Right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mass.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Falcons are now part of the Deshaun Watson conversation. So, too, are the Browns. So, Ian, by my count, we have the Saints, the Panthers, the Falcons, the Browns. Four teams in it right now?
Four teams in it right now. I have not yet heard of any other teams being in it. I guess anything is possible, but I have not yet heard that. As far as where this all stands, let's start from the beginning. The Saints and the Panthers have offers in on Deshaun Watson. Both those offers, as Tom and I have detailed, more than three first-round picks, plus more. There also is interest from the Browns, who have a meeting with him today. That flight is, I believe, taking off now and headed to Houston. The Browns brass is on it. The Atlanta Falcons also would like to meet with Deshaun Watson. If that is all firm and final, that should be tomorrow. It feels, guys, like the Saints are in a very good position here. That is what it feels like. Just taking the temperature of all things, not saying anything is firm and final, but it seems like based on everything they have to offer, the Saints are maybe in the driver's seat here.
All right, that's the NFL Network on the Deshaun Watson situation. Saints, Panthers, Falcons, Browns. Talk about a group of teams that does nothing for us. Maybe Cleveland, if it comes to the AFC. That's more blockage. But what's your assessment of the situation, Greg, before we go back to the phones?
Yeah, I find it interesting that it's being reported out there that I think Diana Rossini said that Watson reached out to the Falcons on his own, sort of solicited their interest. That means that he doesn't love his options, which are really, at this point, the Panthers, Saints, and I guess the Browns are somewhat involved. I like the Panthers, and David Tepper, the owner, is going to go all out. He is sick of the wheel of gutless bums, a quarterback that they've had, and he wants a real quarterback, and Dave Tepper gets what he wants.
He's kind of a local star there, right? He's not from there, but he played at Clemson. He's right there. So, I mean, I think there's that aspect to it, too.
Yes, absolutely. And I do think that team's good. I think they have the potential to be good. If I were him, with what's going on in the NFC, like all the good quarterbacks are coming to the AFC, I would go to the Panthers. And yes, you have to deal with Brady and the Bucks, but outside of that, I like that situation.
Okay. Again, does little for us.
It does so little for me. Oh, the Panthers. It would feel like such a waste.
Totally. I mean, same with the Falcons and even the Saints. It's like, that's not in our take range. Browns a little bit, take radar. But those other three, forget about it. All right, let's zip through your calls here before Greg gets out of here. Billy and Taunton. Go ahead, Billy. I said Billy and Taunton. Okay, Chris and Everett, you're up next. Go ahead, Chris.
So I agree with you, Greg, but I thought that one of the biggest needs for the team, especially on offense, was that quick twitch slot receiver.
Yep.
You know, a guy, like you said, who could get open. So my question to you is, obviously they haven't gone after anybody in free agency, but the guy like Slade Bolden or Sky Moore, who are going to be in the draft and possibly later round picks, basically what the Patriots are going to do because they're cheaper.
So Jones can probably speak to this a little bit better than I can.
Slade Bolden's supposed to be like a seventh round
guy.
Slade Bolden's a little slot guy from Alabama.
He was like Mac's buddy or roommate or whatever. Yeah.
I was in Indianapolis. I went to the first quarterback receiver workout. I was part of the media contingent in there. I saw Slade Bolden. He did not impress me. He looks like a possession receiver, sort of like Jacoby Myers, maybe a little bit smaller. I was not impressed by him. Sky Moore was in that workout. He, you know, his time speed was great. He did not jump out on the field. I do think that there are some real good slot options available in this draft. I would love to see them get one because I do think that's one of their biggest needs.
And tell me why Gunnar Olszewski never got time in there. And, you know, it felt like for a second he was on that Julian Edelman arc where he was a punt returner and, you know, down the depth chart and, you know, starts to work his way into that spot. How come Gunnar Olszewski never did?
He's gotten chances. He practiced a lot. He got into some games. He just hasn't impressed. He can't catch, right?
Like that's
been an issue.
That's one of the criticisms of him. And yes, it makes sense. It's Bill moving a guy from defense to offense. He can't catch.
This is another thing that blows me away. It's like, from Troy Brown to Wes Welker to Julian Edelman, it was like 20 years. And I know Troy played inside and out, but, you know, he also played a lot of slot. And obviously Brady thrives with that guy. And I know Brady's not here, but don't you want to keep, of all the things you want to keep going, wouldn't that be one of them?
Well, they did draft Braxton Berrios, but they ended up cutting him for some veteran receiver. I forget exactly when he was cut and who was on the depth chart, but
was it Demaryius Thomas?
I don't think so.
Either way, keep going.
But anyways, they had him, let him go. Bill even told Berrios, I think he was quoted as saying this, that it was basically like a numbers game and we blah blah blah, we love you, blah. But you know, but he was the next guy. Like, but here's the other thing. Gunnar Olszewski is a restricted free agent. We haven't heard yet about what tender he's going to get. You know, he was an undrafted free agent, so it's either second round tender or nothing. And what are they going to do? Are they going to put a second round tender on Gunnar Olszewski? I would hope not for a punt returner.
Berrios has turned out to be pretty damn good, too.
He has.
So, but I like that's
the one guy who can play, they let go.
But that's the sweet spot. And that was one that I think they did figure out before everybody else. It's like all those years with Brady, like, why don't other teams do this? It's so easy. You put a little shifty guy inside against those big linebackers who can't cover. Yeah, the guy's going to get the crap kicked out of him. He may not last very long. He's going to get pulverized, but he's always open. It's easy money. And it's like, so it doesn't feel like it's that hard to duplicate because those guys are floating around at the bottom of the draft every year. You just got to invest a little bit of time in them to give them the rhythm of the offense, and there you go. And it's like they've totally abandoned the principle of the inside slot receiver. Like, that's another one. It's like, what? Why? That thing worked. Why don't you keep that going? John in Milford. Go ahead, John.
Hey, I just want to ask the big boy light. Malcolm Perry was that great quarterback out of Navy that ran the option, and he was just elusive as all hell. Now, he went to the Dolphins and the Patriots picked him up. Where does he stand for the potential of being a slot?
John, and I don't mean to be rude. Why are we talking about Navy option quarterbacks?
I think this guy's called about this dude like three different.
Look, he's on the roster. I think he'll be in the mix for slot. I mean, he's more of a gadget guy, sort of running back, receiver, do a little bit of everything.
I don't want to hear about this. of course, this is just in keeping with what Jones said. Add it to your list, Jones. Six, ex-Navy players.
Right. Shame on me. I should have had that, yeah.
I don't want to hear about the Navy players. Like, enough of the Navy. Enough of the lacrosse bros. Enough. The former Navy option quarterback is now your new Wes Welker? No, he's not. Let me make a prediction. He's not. Dan and Marble. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys, I think this whole J.C. Jackson situation is really a time to think and reevaluate how we're playing defense compared to the rest of the league. And there's three defenses I look at. I look at the Bengals, the Titans, and the Chiefs. They're all defenses that have had postseason success, and they all have three things. They have good but not great corners. They have a heavy pass rush, and they got a playmaking safety. And I think we need to start to model our defenses after them because this isn't working for us.
Okay, well, is Duggar the playmaking safety, Greg?
I think that Phillips and Duggar give you that. I don't think Bill will ever sell out to get pass rushers, ever. He's never shown the inclination. You're going to have to set the edge first.
The closest is Matt Judon.
Yeah, Matt Judon, and you know you need Uche and Ronnie Perkins to come on this year. And the cornerbacks, they're going to have to upgrade. And, you know, Mike, before I go, I just wanted to, you know, for the Patriots, sort of my list of the Patriots to sort of rescue what they're doing here and for, I think, people to be somewhat happy with what they've done.
Okay, so here's a silver lining on the way out the door, folks.
Good. Yep.
Lay it out.
Good. More Navy.
So Za'Darius Smith on the outside. I know you've brought him up, Felger.
Yep.
Should be cost effective. Trade for Robbie Anderson. I know for some people, for some reason, they turn their nose up at Robbie Anderson. He's a good player. He's been with crap quarterbacks and crap teams. He could be really good here. Get Akeem Hicks or Michael Pierce.
Hicks is available?
Yes.
Yeah. From the Bears?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's going to cost you, I think, even though he's... Well, I mean, you tell me.
He's kind of old. I don't think he would cost that much.
Okay. No, so he's their type. Used to have him, and he's old.
Michael Pierce was just released by the Vikings. Former Raven, excellent on the interior run stuffer. You add him there. And you get a veteran cornerback like A.J. Bouye, who was released, and you know Miles Jack, who was released by the Jaguars, who will probably be a little bit pricey and out of their price range. But you get a guy like him. You do those type of things, and I don't think you're breaking the bank for any of them. All of a sudden, the Patriots look a lot better tomorrow.
Okay. Well, I mean, basically, for us to stop bitching about them, they have to get to this stage of free agency where guys are cheap and they start signing guys, and then we can start, you know, pretending. Oh, yeah, plug this guy in there, plug that guy in there. You know, 80% of them will get cut or not work out, but at least it'll, you know, call the wolves off, not that they care.
Just make some moves that aren't mockable. That's all.
I mean, someone who's under 30 and not cheap and wasn't here. Let's just start with that. All right, Greg, thanks for coming in. We appreciate
it. Thanks, guys. It was fun again.
All right, we're going to take a quick football breather because, again, if the Pats aren't going to do anything, then F them. We'll talk about another team that's not doing anything. How are you enjoying the Red Sox offseason so far? We'll do that after Adam Jones gets you updated. 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.